Praise God. Today, I want to share with you from the topic, Knowing God as Our Father. Knowing God as Our Father. According to a 2007 UNICEF report, some children who grow up in the absence of fathers showed a number of characteristics such as 1. They consistently overrepresented on a wide range of mental health problems, which included anxiety, depression, and suicide. 2. Fatherless children are more likely to die as children, and on an average will live 4 years less over the lifespan. Based upon these findings reported, the presence and role of a father in the development of a child is very important. Conversely, the absence of a father in the growth and development of a child can lead to the development of serious psychological and mental issues in the life of a child. Similarly, the absence of God the Father in our lives has serious consequences, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. In this life, it can lead to lack of identity, anxiety, depression, thoughts of suicide, broken marriages, etc., and in the life to come, eternal damnation in hell. Hebrews 12:9 tells us, since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? Hebrews 12:9 tells us about our earthly fathers and tells us that God is the Father of our spirits. At this juncture, I want to make 2 points. 1. The same word used for our heavenly fathers is the same word used for God as the Father of our spirits. Father here is defined as one who infused his spirit into others. I want you to note that. One who infused his spirit into others. In other words, one who had a relationship and poured into his children's life. Who activates and governs their minds. Train them up to be godly children. God filled Adam with his spirit when he breathed into him in Genesis 2:7. After we are born again, God desires to fill us or infuse us with his Holy Spirit. The word father also means one who stands in a father's place and looks after another in a paternal way. In Genesis 2, the Bible tells us that God, as a true father, created a garden which had everything that Adam needed. After God formed Adam from the earth, he provided for him a wife. Like a true father, God provided everything Adam needed, looking after him in a paternal way. I want to tell you this morning that just as he cared for Adam, God still cares for all humanity. John 3:16 tells us, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's God's love for all humanity. During this time of the prevailing coronavirus pandemic, it is very important for us to be informed and are reminded that God still cares for humanity, that God still cares for you and I, and that He knows the number of hairs on each of us' head. In other words, He knows everything about us in the greatest detail. Psalm 33, verses 13 to 15 tells us, "The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race." Yes, the whole human race. That includes you and I. It goes on to say in verse 14, "From His throne He observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts." He made your heart and He made my heart. So He understands everything we do. God understands everything that we do. In Luke 11 and verse 1, the Bible tells us, once Jesus was in a certain place praying. You know, as I looked at this passage this morning, I said, you know, if Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, who was 100% God and 100% human, found it necessary to pray, how much more should you and I find it necessary to pray? The Bible says, as He finished, one of His disciples came to Him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Praise God. We should note that the followers of Jesus were called disciples. Not until in Acts were they called Christians, and once in the Bible, the name Christian was mentioned. Simply put, a disciple was a learner who followed or patterned the life of his teacher. In today's society, there are frequent calls, invitations for men to present themselves as mentors to young men. But Jesus understood the importance of mentorship. That's why he called persons to follow Him, and He made them into disciples or followers, and He was the mentor and the teacher. It was therefore natural that as they observed Jesus' prayer life, that's the disciples, that they too would desire to learn to pray. It should be noted that just as how Jesus was born at a time in history when crucifixion was practiced, He also came into this world at a time when discipleship was being practiced. The scribes, the Pharisees, and John the Baptist all had disciples. Jesus in turn commanded us to go into all the world and make disciples of men. You know, that's a call that to a very great extent the church has forgotten. For some, they think that He says, go into all the world and make church members. But He didn't say that. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of men. An important question that could be asked of us who say we are Christians is, have we been discipled by someone? I read a book in which the author made the following statement. Every disciple is a Christian, but not every Christian is a disciple. Praise God. You know, that's a very hard statement, and maybe some persons are not in agreement with it. But it's true, because there are many persons all over the world who call themselves Christians, and we know they are not a part of the Christian faith. Which one are you? Are you a disciple or are you a Christian? In verse 2, Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. And this is so important. This is how you should pray. He said, Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. That was verse 2. Now, let us look at God as our Father. Because remember, the topic of this message is knowing God as our Father. Hallelujah. History, he instructs us to address God as our Father. He's saying that we need to see God as one who stands in a father's place in our lives and is willing to act in a paternal way on our behalf. How many of us think of God like that? How many of us think of God in that context? Let me say it again. He instructs us to address God as our Father. He's saying that we need to see God as one who stands in a father's place in our lives and is willing to act in a paternal way on our behalf. Wow. In John 20, 17, he tells his disciples, I am ascending to my Father and your Father. He's saying that God the Father is his Father and that he is our Father. He said, to my God and your God. This is a time when each of us need to have a relationship with God. Do you know that you can go to church, listen to Christian music, read the Bible, talk like a Christian, and not have a relationship with God? Don't know God? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. When we have a relationship with God, we know deep down that we can trust him in every area of our lives. Hallelujah. Then, in this prayer, in the same prayer, he instructs them how to pray for their daily needs. Remember, he's instructing us, directing us to pray to God the Father, who is not only his Father, but our Father. In verse 3, Jesus taught them to pray. Give us each day the food we need. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give us each day the food we need. I remember, you know, there was a time in our lives when, you know, our family was in need and we had very little money. We didn't have enough money to buy the groceries that we needed. And we went to a supermarket to just purchase what we could. And as my wife checked out at the cashier, you know, the owner of the supermarket came over to us smiling. And she presented us with a large basket full of groceries. And she said, you are the winner of this basket of groceries. And we just began to praise the Lord. We praise the Lord and we thank the Lord. Because indeed, God is a God who gives us each day the food we need. We don't know where it's going to come from. We don't know how it's going to come. We don't know from whom it's going to come. But we do know that God will provide all our needs. This is so encouraging during this time when persons are losing their jobs or are being asked to accept half of the pay they usually receive. It is so reassuring to know that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and is able to supply us with food when we have no money or when food is in short supply. Praise God. In Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34, Jesus said, and I want you to listen carefully to this. Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. There are so many persons that are worrying about the coronavirus. There are so many persons that are worrying about their jobs. They are worrying about food. They are worrying about money. But Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. He said, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Praise God. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Hallelujah. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Think about it. Birds. There are so many birds in the earth. Many birds. Many different types of birds in the earth. And there is no program by any government or any individual to feed those birds. Yes, they thrive. They live. They multiply. They continue to live from year to year by God's provision. And God is saying, I am the one who feed the birds. I take care of the birds. You are more important than the birds. I will take care of you. Hallelujah. And then he says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Do you believe that? Jesus said, God will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Praise God. You know, this is a time when the just shall live by faith. The just shall believe the word of God and believe that what God said he will do, that he will do it. Hallelujah. In verse 31 he says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? He says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Think about that. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. You know, sometimes when I reflect on this section here, this verse, and times when I tend to worry about money, worry about this, worry about that, sometimes I wonder if I'm an unbeliever. Because he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. In other words, Christians should not allow these things to dominate our thoughts. But we need to exercise faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be saved from whatever is confronting us. He said, so don't worry about these things. Saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Amen. Then in verse 32 he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. In verse 33 he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. These are times when we need to seek the kingdom of God above all else. Put aside our worries. Put aside our worries. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. Hallelujah. And it says, and he will give you everything you need. Praise God. You know, it's important to think about others. It's important to think about God. Pray to God. Ask God to use you. Ask God to direct you for the expansion of his kingdom at this time. And as you seek God first, God will give you everything you need. Praise God. And then he says in verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow. Praise God. Amen. Some people, they are worried about today. They are worried about tomorrow. They are worried about next week. They are worried about next year. But these are Jesus' words. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Amen? Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Leave tomorrow to God and trust God for today. He said, today's trouble is enough for today. Don't pile up too many things on your head. Amen? Leave tomorrow for tomorrow. Leave it to God. And then he tells them how to pray regarding forgiveness and temptation. Praise God. In verse 4 of Luke 11, Jesus tells us we should pray, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Praise God. These words are so important in this time. These are times when we need to repent of our sins. The current pandemic reminds us that death is no respecter of persons. So many persons who are infected by the coronavirus, knowingly or unknowingly, have died suddenly. These are times when we need to prepare to meet our God. Do not delay. Do not delay. If you are not a Christian, do not delay giving your life to Jesus Christ. Some people, they say, I'm going to wait. I need to get a little older. I need to wait until this happen or that happen. But you don't know the day or the hour when God should choose to take you away from this life. In this prayer, Jesus also instructs us to ask God to help us to overcome temptation. To ask God to help us overcome temptations. You know, during a time of national or international crisis, temptation is strongest. These are times when many are being tempted to abandon the Christian faith. Some are being tempted to steal. Others are being tempted to commit adultery or the selling of their bodies for financial gain. I want to encourage you, do not abandon God. Do not turn your back on Him. And then in Matthew's Gospel, in the Lord's Prayer, and it's absent in Luke's rendition, it says, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Evil abounds in the earth. Evil includes things that are hurtful, diseases, calamity, etc. Jesus is saying that God wants to deliver us from evil. He wants to deliver us from diseases, calamity, and from every weapon that the enemy should choose to bring against us. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54:17 declares that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against us in judgment, God will condemn it. For this is our inheritance as God's servants, and our vindication is of God. Hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Remember, God wants you to know that through Jesus Christ, He has become your Father. Amen. A Father who is even more faithful and helpful than any earthly father. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want to encourage us to strengthen our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's a faithful God. Amen. Before I close, and I want to pray for some conditions. But I want to testify. You know, last week, one of the things that the Holy Spirit had me pray for was that I saw a vision of an inner ear that needed healing. And I prayed. And praise God, someone from New York called and said, "Pastor, I had a problem with my inner ear." In fact, the person said that it was actually leaking. It was leaking fluid. And she said that immediately after she was prayed for, that her ears began to change and it began to heal. It improved Monday and it improved more on Tuesday. You know, the Lord healed her ear. And someone here in Jamaica who had a problem with hearing in one ear said that the Lord opened the ear and she was hearing better. So to God be the glory. Amen. God, there's no distance to prayer. There's no distance that is too great for God to come to you and touch you and heal you and help you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, a number of things came to me and I want to pray for them. First of all, the word occlusion came to me. And then retinal vascular occlusion. It is a blockage of vessels in the eye and it can lead to an impaired vision. Praise God. And so I just want to pray, if that is you or you know somebody who has that condition, I want you to just stand proxy on their behalf. Amen. And believe God now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit every person that has an occlusion, O Lord, whether it be in the eye, whether it be in the heart, whether it be in the legs, Lord, whether it be in the hands, in whatever area of the body. And in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I loose that occlusion now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your healing power now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. And then, I also saw a vision of a discolored tooth enamel. And I believe God is a miracle God and that God can heal and renew and restore. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I command that tooth or teeth now, in the name of Jesus, to be normalized, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And then, the last two things, one had to do with false security. And God is saying, be careful. Be careful whom you are putting your security into. Your welfare. Into whose hands you are putting your security and your welfare. You know, we can't trust in anybody but Jesus. That's the truth. We can't trust in chariots. We can't trust in horses. But the psalmist said, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Amen. And finally, the Lord wants me to say, this is not the time to leave Jesus. I don't know who I am talking to, but this is not the time to leave Jesus. Do not put your trust in man or in an institution. This is not the time to leave Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I commit every person that is struggling in their faith at this time, Lord. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, those that have been tempted with false security, Lord, I ask you to strengthen them and to encourage them. Deliver them from evil, Lord. Deliver them from every temptation, Lord. And Lord, for those who are being tempted to leave Jesus, strengthen their faith, O God. Strengthen their faith. Hallelujah. At this time, O God, in the name of Jesus, I loose the bands of wickedness set up over their lives. I undo the heavy burdens. I set them free from every spirit of oppression, and I break every yoke over their lives now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we just bless you and we praise you. Hallelujah. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.